Hello, North South Connection podcast listeners. This is Chad Campbell with the latest edition of Carolina Dreamin'. Before we get started with the matches we'll discuss in detail today from 1987, I promised last time I would give you a checklist from 1986. I am prepared to do that. I will be putting this in the description. Also, what I did was I've created YouTube playlists. They're titled Carolina Dreamin' with the apostrophe after the N on Dreamin'. There's one for 1986 and there's one for 1987 that I've started to build out. You may have to think if you search that, just search Carolina Dreamin' 1986. The playlist should populate. If not, you can find my YouTube username, which is Chaddie151, Chaddie151, and you should be able to access those playlists that way. So let me go through the matches from 1986. As I said last time, it's a loaded year. I've been enjoying going through the whole year worldwide in wrestling. Chronologically, I'm only up to February, but it's a great year overall. But let's get into what I think is probably the top 10 matches from the year that if you're wanting to cut corners and you can only watch these 10, these are the ones to do. The first one we'll just try to go in order chronologically. First one is Ric Flair versus Ron Garvin. This was a cage match from the Omni on May 30th, 1986. This is a fantastic match. Ric Flair and Ron Garvin in 1986 have two other matches that made tape. One is a Omni draw that we get a good bit of, and then they also had a match on the Super Towns on the Superstation special show in February that aired on TBS. Both of those are great matches. The January match is clipped a little bit. I don't think it's clipped enough to not be ranked by myself, but it has a shot of making my list, and I just watched the Super Towns match, and it also has a shot of making my overall list. But this match I think is fantastic. I think this is probably, I go back and forth with this or the Starrcade match is my second favorite match between these two. My first favorite match, and we'll see if that holds water on the next episode of Carolina Dreamin', but it's always been when Ron Garvin wins the world title. But this one's not too far behind. I rank it at 4.5 stars last time I watched it. Spectacular match, and it is on the YouTube playlist. It says House Show 1985-1986 in the description, but the date is March 30th, 1986. The next one was a holy grail for so long and finally dropped on the network. It's the Sheep Herders versus the Fantastics from the Crockett Cup. It's available on the WWE Network. The whole show's fun. It's long, but it's fun. If you just want to skim the Fantastics matches, that's a good way to go as well. This was kind of the infamous five-star Dave Meltzer Lost Classic, and it really held up to me. I mean, is it five stars for me? No, but again, 4.5 stars, bloody, chaotic, crazy match. Just a ton of fun. Now we get into Tully Blanchard versus Ron Garvin. This was on Worldwide, May 3rd, 1986. This possibly is one of the greatest television matches of all time, in my estimation. I really love this match. I think this is kind of one that if you're a big JCP aficionado, it's one you kind of pinpoint and talk about that maybe not too many people have heard, but this is, I don't know what the equivalent of this type of match would be on the WWE side. Maybe the Owen versus Bulldog European title match, something like that. It's just one of those very classical TV matches you can point to that I just think is absolutely fantastic. Now, this Monsoon Classic has a clip of that on YouTube. I put it in the playlist. I don't believe it's the full match, though. I'd really try to seek out the full match if you can. Because it goes a long while, so I would recommend anybody that's filling out a list to please try to watch this match. Then we have one that was recommended by Tyler, and I watched it when he recommended it, and also got some play on PWO. But it's the Minnesota Wrecking Crew versus the Rock and Roll Express from July. And this was on World Championship Wrestling, so it's on the network. Another great tag match. Rock and Roll Express was really moving and grooving. This one's a step behind the Russian tag for me from 1985, but still a great match. Still has a good chance of making my list. The network, WWE Network, all of a sudden, they kind of went on a 1986 tear last year. They dropped two Great American Bash shows, full shows. One is from 7/5/86 from Charlotte, and then the other one was from July 26 from Greensboro. I'm going to recommend two matches from the 7/5 show. The first one's Ron Garvin versus Tully Blanchard. They also wrestled on the 7/26 show as well. It's nearly an identical match. I like the heat and the finish of the July 5th a little bit better with Wahoo as Garvin's second. A really great feud back and forth between these two. This is a spectacular match, 4.25 stars. But the creme de la creme of this show is the Ricky Morton versus Ric Flair cage match. Was released in full for the first time on the Ric Flair DVD. Now we get it on the network on this full show. Absolutely tremendous match. I really need to rewatch it again before I do my final list. But this is possibly top 10, top 5. Probably not top 5, but top 10, top 15 contender for me. Had it at very high 4.5 stars last time. I know Marty Sleaze, it's his favorite match of all time, period. So this one is definitely going to be high ranking when I do my final list as well. Next, let's get into a house show from Philadelphia. This is on the YouTube playlist. It's the Midnight Express versus the Rock and Roll Express. It ends up being the title change. It's in contention for my favorite matchup between these two. It's another one I need to rewatch, but this is a classic feud, classic rivalry, and if this is what maybe their best match together, it's certainly something to seek out. And now we go to the Magnum TA versus Nikita Koloff feud. They had two matches. Unfortunately, the one I think is the best is match number 6 in their best of 7, and I couldn't find it on YouTube. It was on August 16th on Worldwide. The August 23rd match number 7 is on YouTube, so I added it to the playlist. It's a very good match as well. But if you can find the August 16th, which is match number 6, I think that's the best one of the whole series. And then finally, I think our last couple matches I want to mention. One, if you haven't watched Arcade 86, please do, at least for the Rock and Roll Express versus Minnesota Wrecking Crew cage match. And then the final match I'm going to mention is the tag title change between the Rock and Roll Express and Raging and Ravishing. This was on World Championship Wrestling, so it's available on the network, December 6, 1986. Another one of those may be one of the 10, 15 best TV matches I've ever seen. Had this one at 4.5 stars, watched it very recently. I love this tag match, and it goes long. It has a big point of emphasis. It's just a great match. So that is all of 1986, a quick primer there. And I want to talk about 1987 now. And we're, again, not going to be going into chronological order because this first show that I'm dealing with in 1987 is an interesting case because it one person, and that is Barry Windham, with the exception of our first match, and it's a rematch of the match I just mentioned. It's Manny Fernandez and Rick Rude versus Robert Gibson and Ricky Morton from Worldwide. The date I have on this is February 21st, 1987. This is another match that's tough to find on YouTube. Was unable to put it in the 1987 playlist, But this match, it's not as good as the title change. Doesn't go as long. Has a finish that Jim Crockett Promotions loved that I'm less fond of, but we'll get to that. But I think this match really showed that the shine sequence that Gibson and Morton do in the beginning of this match, sometimes that can feel really dominating if a babyface tag team takes advantage for way too long. It can make the heels feel incompetent. This was a staple I've talked about in Tully Blanchard matches. And I talked about the one on the last episode where I felt like that went too far, where Tully Blanchard was dominated by Ron Bass, of all people. But this match has that, where probably 60% is the opening babyface shine that we see. And we missed the turn of events through the commercial break, which is a pet peeve I do have with JCP. They love doing this. They would go to break. So we go to break in this match with Ricky and Robert just dominating. We come back with Paul Jones having a very smirky smile on his face, and Manny Fernandez is working over Robert Gibson. So we miss what happened there, but overall this is a very strong tag match. I think Rick Rude looks great in this match early on for his career. He does a big top rope fist drop that looks good. Manny Fernandez is really becoming one of the unsung heroes in me watching this footage. He's not somebody that is like top of the line, like your Tullys, your Flairs, your Barry Windhams, as we'll get to, or even Ricky Morton. But him, and almost like Robert Gibson, as I mentioned in the last show, he's, I think, underrated historically. I mean, I don't know how many matches he'll be involved in on my final list, but he's been very enjoyable, very reliable to have a good TV matches, to when he was a babyface, to be inserted in a TV feud or house show feud with a Tully or with one of your top heels, and he was able to hang competently with that. And so I think, you know, Manny Fernandez, Ivan Koloff, Robert Gibson, those three are kind of becoming, like I said, your unsung heroes of this project that I'm watching. And somebody like Brad Armstrong, which I watched some matches of his during this set of matches that I watched, and he was good. He was fine in that, but I don't think he was necessarily any better than Manny Fernandez. And I think in total, in the wrestling zeitgeist, Brad Armstrong is remembered more fondly in ring than Manny Fernandez. And I just don't think that kind of holds when you rewatch. So the finish here is a false finish where it looks like Robert and Ricky have regained the tag titles, but Tommy Young was knocked out of commission. There's another referee that comes out and is attending to him. But the new referee has his back to the ring. Tommy Young is facing the ring even though he's still winded. And Manny Fernandez gets thrown over the top rope. They do a great camera angle at the very end where you can see Tommy Young, as soon as that happens, pointing and trying to get the other referee's attention. But it turns out the new referee goes in, makes the count when the Rock and Roll Express had the count, awards them the match, and then Tommy Young overturns that. So like I said, a pretty shoddy finish, but overall a great match. Went about 16, 17 minutes probably from bell to bell. Went 4 stars, 8.1 out of 10. And this will be an interesting match to see if this one makes my final list. I think this is going to be one of those matches that is right on the cutoff. I'm feeling like between 8.1 out of 10 and 8.3 out of 10 is going to be my cutoff for this series. And we'll get to a match later that I feel pretty comfortable should be in my final list. And this one's on the outside looking in. So a great match. Definitely well worth a watch. And now the next 4 matches we're going to talk about all involve one person, and that is Barry Windham. And I gotta say, watching this footage, I don't know if I would have Ric Flair as the best wrestler of 1987. I may have Tully Blanchard. He's in the conversation. But Barry Windham's in the conversation here. And let's start with the Flair matches. Let's go to the main event first, because I watched the two biggest Flair matches from the year. One is the Worldwide Time Limit Draw that aired on January 24th, 1987. And then there's the Crockett Cup match from April 11th, 1987. So, just a quick note, the Crockett Cup match, there's a handheld of the full match. That is what I watched. That is what I recommend you watch. If you watch the TV version, you only get about 15 minutes out of the 26-minute match. It'd be nice if somebody would be willing to Frankenstein a cut together that includes the commentary moments that we have on tape, and then splices in the house, the fan cam footage, so we get one cut that includes some commentary, but I don't think that's happened yet. But just going into this series, overall, I have always enjoyed the series a ton between Ric Flair and Barry Windham. But going in, my favorite match has generally been the Battle of the Belts 2 match from Championship Wrestling from Florida in 1986, which is not eligible for this project. And when me and Parv did our TV wrap-up for Where the Big Boys Play, I know with the Worldwide Time Limit Draw, we were both complimentary of it, had it as a, no doubt, a great match, but didn't see it as the Stone Cold Classic that some had. And I'd usually had preferred the Crockett Cup match as well. Well, I sat down and watched the Worldwide match yesterday, and I'm willing now to make the claim that I think is the greatest television match in United States history. I was blown away by that match. Just the presentation, everything about it. I know Dave Meltzer has had that talking point as well. And I agree. I mean, it's just this was the greatest wrestling program in U.S. history, and I agree. I am at a loss for words. The whole presentation, it took the aspects of the Russians versus the Rock and Roll Express that I discussed last time and just expounded upon them. This was another length-wide, one-match episode. You had Dusty Rhodes on commentary with Tony for this match. Dusty's in a suit, and he is fantastic. I think Dusty on commentary is remembered kind of fondly, mostly for his later WCW run, where his analogies and his accent and, he got a bicycle, that type of stuff. But this is more serious Dusty, and he is spectacular. Just getting over the ebbs and flows of the match, getting over the gravity of the world championship, admitting that he's not unbiased. He wants Barry Windham to win, but also giving credit to Flair when it is due throughout this match. And he's spectacular, and the in-ring work is spectacular too. They really go after each other. Barry Windham starts the match controlling with a headlock. And the thing that I liked about the storyline of this match is you saw that Flair had to take it to the outside and had to kind of get dirty in order to gain the advantage. Which I really enjoyed that contrast that, on this night, Barry Windham was the better wrestler. It took Flair kind of overcoming that, getting his, hands dirty, which we knew he doesn't have a problem doing. And they just have such great back and forth stuff. Some of the chops are vicious throughout this match. Barry Windham sells them well. At one point, About 20 minutes in, Flair hits him with a chop and just a big glob of spit comes flying out of Barry's face. It's the middle of January, so even in the middle of January in South Carolina, it's going to be colder. But their sweat's pouring down both of these men. They're exerting so much energy. Barry Windham takes great bumps to the outside. The time limit draw is timed perfectly. I love Barry Windham's kind of kick up in the air missile drop kick. He does it unlike any other drop kick, missile drop kick you've seen. It looks kind of awkward and out of control, but he really kind of gets Flair with at least one boot and a nice like nick. It's very interesting the way he does that and utilizes that throughout his matches. A minor quibble, and I didn't critique this match for it because it's the timekeeper's fault, but the timing with Tom Miller announcing the time was accurate to where the bell should have rung when Tommy Young was mid-count. Whoever was ringing the bell was a split second late, so Tommy Young actually had to stop his count. But I think you could retcon that by saying he was going by the countdown instead of the bell. But that's like I said, minor quibble. Probably prevents it from almost being a 10. I mean, I just thought this was one of the greatest matches I've ever seen, honestly, when I watched it yesterday. And that's why I love this project. Like, this is one that, like I said before, for sure would have made my list before, but might have been, you know, muddled in that 30 to 45 range of just absolutely a great match, but just one of a handful. And this isn't, I really don't think so. I think this is a cream of the crop match. I think this is top 10 lock, maybe even top 5. This right now is my number 4 match of the entire project. And I don't really see anything at this point knocking it off. But I mean, I've been surprised before. I never would have thought this match would end up being my number 4. So that is the beauty of this project. I think this is a famous match. Now, this is unfortunately not the easiest match to see online. There may be a Daily Motion cut. I'm sure there probably is. But it's not on YouTube in full, and the network doesn't have it as far as I could tell. So I would recommend seeking this one out on Daily Motion. That leads us into the Crockett Cup match. So, like I said, I had thought the Crockett Cup match was better than this one, and both were worse than Battle of the Belts 2. So I was really interested to watch this Crockett Cup match, and it held up to about what my expectations were going in. So I have it at 4.25 stars, 8.6 out of 10. A great match, but coming off the heels of the Worldwide match, it didn't make it, I guess, but I take nothing away from that. Like, if you're just going in blind, I think the Crockett Cup match is excellent too. It is a little bit tighter. It does feel a little bit repetitive, I'll say. If you watch the Worldwide match in this one back to back, you see a lot of the same spots, and without Dusty on commentary and Tony as well, that can be lost a little bit if you're just watching the fan cam footage. But it does throw some nice little wrinkles in. I mean, I think the finish is really well done with the reversal of the pinfalls. They do that in a great way. They utilize the sleeper from Barry Windham a little bit better in this match. So there's some ebbs and flows. And I mean, these two wrestled around the horn at the beginning of 1987, and I would just love to see some house show footage and other fan cams. There's one other match I watched, which I'll get to when I do my rundown of all the footage I watched, but it actually aired in Japan on World Pro Wrestling. We get about 20 minutes of a time limit draw. I couldn't even find out which show that was from, that they taped from, because there's so many time limit draws around this area, but they had one in the Omni. Flair and Windham did, so if we know this was taped, so at least there's a possibility we could get this one at full at some point. Not holding my breath, but you know, it was at least taped, so it's out there, and I would love to see it, because I think these two, I'm trying to think, there's not many Flair feuds I'd rank above this one at this point. I mean, it's maybe Steamboat, maybe Funk. Oh, that may be it. I mean, it's up there because I think it matches the Garvin. It matches the intensity that you like from some of the other feuds you think of with Flair, like Flair versus Dusty. But it also has the in ring where Flair versus Dusty cap out at very good to great in most of their matches. This is a level above that for sure. So both of these matches for sure will be on my list. I mean, even the Crockett Cup match, very comfortably on my list, possibly in the upper half. But it is one of those that, like I said, will probably be in the 40 to 60 range when all is said and done. Whereas the worldwide match from January, 9.9 out of 10, top 5 right now, top 10 guaranteed when the list is said and done. So beyond all that, beyond his feud with Ric Flair, Barry was also involved in a great tag team feud with the Midnight Express, and there's some ancillary occurrences that happened because of that. So there was a match in February between the Midnight Express and Ron Garvin and Barry Windham, February 21st, 1987 on Pro. It's a great angle. I mean, really good match, but it's more about the angle. Where at the end of that match, Jim Cornette throws a fireball in Ronnie Garvin's face. Great looking fireball. Then we get the total aftermath of all that with David Crockett looking completely disturbed and the faces vowing revenge and all that. So at this point in time, Barry Windham and Ron Garvin were the United States Tag Team Champions. And that leads us into a match they had on March 14th, 1987. This was on World Championship Wrestling, the Saturday edition. So it's on the network. And it's Ron Garvin, Barry Windham defending their titles against Ivan Koloff and Dick Murdoch. Kind of a makeshift weird team. This was one on paper that you're kind of like, I don't know, could be good. Ended up being great. I went 8.24 stars on this one as well. Just Windham, like I said, he's just killing it right now. Him and Dick Murdoch around this time frame are a classic great pairing together. I'm going to have to talk to the powers that be because they have a match from UWF in July that would be on our next show that we discuss, and it's after Crockett Baldom, so I'm going to fight that match should be eligible for this list, and we'll probably discuss that match next time because I remember it being fantastic as well, and we'll probably end up making my total list. But this match is really well done and really tells a great story with David and Tony narrating it on commentary, where you have a team that on paper looks like they may not get along, the Russian and the Redneck and Murdoch and Koloff, but they actually work more cohesively as a team than Windham and Garvin. Garvin is still a little shaken up from the fireball. Windham really tries to take the lion's share of the work here. He gets worked over a lot in a great face and peril sequence. And then when he starts mounting his comeback, instead of making the tag to Garvin, he decides to, you know, extend it out a little bit further. And that creates more damage where he gets worked over longer and longer. So this is about a 17-18 minute real nice length tag match. He finally is able to make the hot tag to Garvin. Garvin has a great hot tag. Ends up hitting a big punch to Ivan that knocks him completely out. Looks like he has the match in hand, but on the outside, there's a ton of stuff going on with Ivan's new Russian charge. Murdoch and Windham are fighting on the outside, so the referee's distracted with that. And who should run out but Jim Cornette and Bobby Eaton, because Condry was gone at this point, and they hadn't inserted Stan Lane yet. Garvin sees Cornette coming in to the ring. He grabs Cornette, but Bobby Eaton grabs Cornette's racket, whacks Garvin with the racket, and then Ivan in a great dazed cover where he really just drapes his hand over Garvin, and even Tony on the replay says he doesn't think Ivan even knew that he won. is able to get the cover as he's, you know, trying to shake out the cobwebs. So we got new U.S. Tag Team Champions and Ivan Koloff and Dick Murdoch. And then Dick Murdoch does a great gloaty heel promo afterwards saying that, you know, they didn't have them for a minute. You know, the match was always in hand, no problem. So really another great business of TV. Like I said, 4 stars, 8.2 out of 10. And this was the other match I talked about that is fringy as well and making my overall list. But I'd really like to find a spot for this one just to get some more Ivan representation. Our final match is the culmination that you would think of that feud where they have a long match. It's Barry Windham, Ron Garvin versus Bobby Eaton and Stan Lane. Stan Lane is now a member of the Midnight Express. This is from May 16th, 1987. It's on World Championship Wrestling as well, so it's on the network. 4.25 stars, 8.3 out of 10. And this was a very short, and this is another one, another episode where pretty much the whole episode is confined to just this match. This was a 6:05 show where I guess the Braves were probably playing at 7. So it's only about a 55-minute long show. This match takes up almost all that. We see a nice promo from Jim Cornette before with David Crockett talking about their conditioning. And just a great classic tag match. Two face and peril sequences here. One with Garvin, and then a shorter one with Windham at the end. A very chaotic finish where Garvin looks like he's going to get revenge on Jim Cornette as Jim Cornette goes for the racket shot. Garvin turns around. He ends up hitting Bobby Eaton with that, and he chases Cornette around with the racket. Meanwhile, Barry Windham puts the sleeper hold on Jim Cornette. But a chair shot from Stan Lane knocks Garvin out, and Eaton is able to get the pin, and they end up winning the now vacant U.S. Tag Team Championships. Ivan and Dick vacated those titles. So this was the finals of the tournament for that, and the Midnight Express win. Just another great Jim Crockett Promotions match around this time frame. David and Tony on commentary are excellent, selling it as a great match as well. And just a nice bow that I wrap up on this episode of Carolina Dreamin', which in many ways is the Barry Windham episode, because I don't want to understate how amazing he is in this footage. I mean, Barry... Oh, I know there's the misnomer that if he had wanted it as much as somebody like Flair, he could have been the greatest ever. And I don't know. I don't know where his passion was, what it is. He made some interesting choices when he went to WWF both times, both in 89 and in late 84. And you see it right here. Like, I mean, he's still somebody that, again, ranks well. When I did my greatest wrestler ever list, he was in my top half. But if you see in this footage right here, the 1987 footage, if he could have kept that peak, he is one of the greatest of all time. Like, he's probably a top 20 because it was fantastic. And he was fantastic through all of it in a variety of ways, looking vulnerable and just having two coinciding feuds that had a lot of juice and had a lot of intrigue as well, working as a tag and as a singles. So that ends my love letter to Barry Windham. Before I go, let me go through all the other matches I watched for this show. And it was a lot since we're escalating up the timeline of the series as a whole. I'm having to watch a lot more stuff. So again, I have a playlist on YouTube for 1987. Just type in Carolina Dreamin' 1987. Hopefully you'll find that. And I'll just go through and note stuff that I think's on the network or if it's on my playlist as I go through these matches. January 3rd, 1987, Tim Horner versus Tully Blanchard, World Championship Wrestling, Ric Flair versus Nikita Koloff from Cincinnati, Ohio, a house show. No footage of that. Barry Windham versus Ric Flair from World Pro Wrestling. That's on the playlist. Nikita Koloff versus Ric Flair Supertowns on the Superstation. No footage of that. February 21st, 87, Ron Garvin, Barry Windham versus Dennis Condrey and Bobby Eaton from Pro. That's on the playlist. 131-87, Brad Armstrong versus Tully Blanchard, World Championship Wrestling on the network. 425-87, Tully Blanchard versus Bob Armstrong from Pro. That's on the playlist. 5-9-87, Brad Armstrong versus Tully Blanchard, Super Bouts on the Superstation on the playlist. And then finally, Tully Blanchard versus Barry Windham, 5-10-87 from World Championship Wrestling Sunday edition. I was unable to find that on YouTube. So that's all the matches I watched. All the matches were good. This is an era I love. So thank you for listening. And until next time, this is Chad Campbell signing off.